Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn McGeek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 10th, 2012, episode 378. Good morning, horse people.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody.
Well, good morning, everybody. Jamie, did you notice that in a week and a half now, I haven't screwed up once and said Lexington, Kentucky? Not once.
And what's weird is that when I hear you say Ocala, Florida, I forget, and because I'm expecting you to say Lexington, Kentucky.
I think probably because it's written in my show notes and I read it every morning, my little line, I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida. If it wasn't written there, I'd probably said Lexington, Kentucky.
You have to read that?
I still look at it every day. I'm not sure why. Make sure
Hi,
I know where I
my
am.
My name is John from Ohio. What are you going to say?
And then I have to look down, and we decide that we do this little pre-show here, and we decide who's gonna come out of the opening bumper music. And I always have to look. I don't know about you, but I always look and say, is it me today or is it you? We've even talked about it, and I still have to look.
Now you're letting the people in behind the magic curtain, so be careful.
I know. If only people could listen to the pre-show, when all the swearing and things occur at 6 o'clock in the morning before Jamie's had her coffee.
Stupid beep 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 computer, I can't get beep 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 logged on.
You know what we do? I think we can make extra money. We'll just have a membership program for people, and then they get to listen to the pre-show.
Oh, God. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Well, we have a full show today. Speaking of shows, Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, Bit of Britain Molly is here to tell us the details of a nifty contest going on this year at the Rolex Kentucky 3-Day event, which is coming up April 25th through the 29th. A Horse Radio Network will be there as well, participating in this contest, so it's going to be exciting. And in the Dreams Really Do Come True department, our friends at Hall & Hall are back with another over-the-top horse property, and this time we will be visiting beautiful Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And hopefully, Glenn enjoyed a hearty breakfast this morning because thehorse.com is here to edutain us about stifle issues. So stay tuned for the party, folks.
Hey, you know, I don't see stifles getting real gross. I think I'm safe today. I don't think you can get totally
gross. Oh, I'm sure we can make him gross.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah.
Well, my daily Winnie, I have to, I missed the birthday yesterday. It's kind of important, and I think she's actually co-hosted the show here before, and she's a good friend of the Horse Radio Network, and that's Debbie Laux. That's Monty Roberts' daughter. Her birthday was yesterday, so happy birthday.
Hey.
Happy birthday.
What do you think? What do you think her dad gives her for her birthday? Like, hey, baby, I've rounded you up a Mustang, and he's now gentle. Here's your horse. Like, is that what he does for her on her birthday?
I don't know. And she's an integral part of his business because she pretty much runs the business side of that operation. So,
I don't know. She's trained.
You know
perfectly.
What? If she got a horse every year, though, you'd end up with a lot of horses, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but they'd all be awesome because they're trained by Monty Roberts.
I have a second daily, Winnie. Now, this is, I have to say, is probably a first in the over three years now we've been doing the shows, and I want to thank Marie.
You just read it, didn't you? God.
Marie Ann posted this on her Facebook page yesterday. Thank you so much, Marie. My girls and I have decided to go to Rolex this year, so we'll be looking out for your live show. Still think you're right up there on the sexiest men on radio. Though Alan from the Western radio show is growing on me. Anyway, still really enjoying your show. Always find something to make me smile. I'm one of the sexiest men on radio, Jamie.
Marianne, please don't ruin it. Don't come by the booth. Just stick with it. Stick with it. Just keep him in your head. You know, I'm sure that he looks like Nacho Figueroa, the Argentinian polo player
polo
to you,
player.
My friend.
Yes,
don't ruin
I do. As a matter of fact, I'm just a little older version of him. That's all. And then the only reason Alan has any chance at all is that damn voice of his. That's the only reason. You know,
yeah.
If you see us both in person, then you wouldn't choose Alan. But he has got that voice, the deep, great big deep voice he uses.
No, I like that. Do the show like that. What are you doing? Yeah, but see, the problem is that Alan, when he talks, his voice is sexy, but the content that comes out of his mouth makes him very unsexy.
Yeah, I can honestly say that Jamie is not in your corner, Marie, when it comes to that. Alan loves you, though, Jamie. You know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure. All right, give me my daily Whitney. Dawn Deems keeping me up to date. So thanks, Dawn. She just posted it. She sent me this message that there's a website called overlayapparel.com. And I wonder if maybe, Jennifer, if you don't mind posting that. This is a place that you can get horse racing apparel. Now, what they have on their homepage, I haven't done a lot of research to see how extensive it is, but Overlay Apparel makes, like, they've got Union Rag shirts and Hanson shirts and all sorts of different apparel for the horse racing fan, like Derby contenders. Now, what's really awesome is they give, like she said, she ordered a Hanson T-shirt, and 15% of the proceeds go to New Vocations, which is a thoroughbred adoption facility. So you get to get your shirt with your Derby pick on it, and the portions of the proceeds go to the owner of the horse's favorite charity. So isn't that awesome?
That's pretty cool. Do they have my pick?
I'll have another. Does not have a shirt listed. Neither does Gymologist. So we're both kind of, I'm going to have to send an email. Don, let them know that we want Gymologist, and I'll have another. Even though I'll have another has not been confirmed to go to the Derby. But again,
hey,
Glenn, are you there?
Okay. Jamie's here. I'm here, though. We're here. It's just us.
Okay. So post it on, it's called overlayapparel.com, overlayapparel.com. And again, you can get horse racing apparel, and all proceeds go to the charity, equine charity, of the owner's favorite, of the owner's choice. So I love that idea. Thank you very much, John. I appreciate it. And Glenn, are you back?
I'm back. Do they have my horse, my favorite horse for the Derby? Do they have him on there?
They do not. But again, your horse hasn't even been confirmed that they're actually going to send him to the Derby. So
they have to. Fine.
I'll have another. I don't know. From what it sounds like to me, didn't you say that there was three buses of drunk people and one bus of sober people?
Six buses.
And it just seems to me like they're not going to make it to the Kentucky Derby because they've
all the way from California.
because I'll have another, okay? I mean, that's their problem.
You got to admit, that's going to make a fun pre-show story, is if I'll have another shows up and there's these six buses of drunken people that have come all the way from California to Kentucky on the bus.
Yeah, well, that would be a mess. They might fly. If they have a derby horse, they can probably fly. So they can just have it. And they'll only serve you like two drinks on a plane. Trust me, I have tried to get more.
All right. I've got to ask you real quick about your horse. Is he, before I get to my crappy list Wednesday, is he still pacing the fence because he's a horn dog?
So, to update everybody, or to recap, yesterday I talked about this gelding that we've gotten that has fallen in love with the mare, and she wants nothing to do with him. She's in a different pasture. He was next to her for 10 minutes and for a week has been running the fence line and screaming every time he can't see her. And it's weird because they're next to each other in a pasture, but she'll wander like behind the house and he's like, oh my God, where are you, Chloe? I love you so much. And she's like, you know, you can see her like shoot him the bird. She doesn't care about him. But so you guys gave me some good ideas, and I talked to my veterinarian yesterday because this is, like, distracting. They get turned out at night, and he's running the fence line, and it's right next to my house, my bedroom. You hear galloping hooves going down, galloping hooves and whinnying and screaming. And, like, a couple times I've had to get up in the middle of the night like, oh, my God, the horses are loose. And, no, it's just the idiot galloping the fence line. So I do let you know that yesterday, before I turned them out, I took some poles from the jumps in the arena, and I laid them out like you said, and then I turned them out. Well, of course, I turned Chloe out, so he's screaming, and he comes galloping down the fence line and sees the first pole, and it would have been 4 points for a refusal. I mean, he slammed on the brakes. Like,
really?
Totally. And then he went around it and picked up a canter and then slammed on the brakes. And then went around it and then picked up a canter and slammed on the brakes. And he looked so hurt. He looked hurt. That he was like, well, this is all in my way. Like, and then he even tried, like, he galloped. It was so funny because then he tried to figure out, like, if he could just gallop further out, which put him in the middle of the pasture, which put him way too far away from Chloe. So he cantered up and down a couple times. And then he quit. So
it
you
worked.
Guys. It worked.
Yay!
However,
woohoo!
I say that, and that's what I was prepared to tell you this morning, because I didn't wake up in the middle of the night. I didn't hear him screaming. Just about 20 minutes ago, he started it again. So I think maybe he was sleeping, and then he just woke back up, and he's like, Chloe! So the vet that I talked to, you know, we had talked a little bit about giving him some drugs and giving him this, giving him that. Well, we talked to the vet, and she said that estrogen is a good thing to give to him, is shots of estrogen. Now, do you think I'm going to be able to sell to Chad that I'm going to start giving his horse estrogen shots?
Next, you're going to be saying he needs a boob job.
I know. Well, it'll be some girl boobs, I'm sure. Yeah, that's not going to work. I don't see it working. So I'm
go ahead
really
and tell your fighter pilot husband that you want to give him estrogen. Do that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work.
That's funny.
Oh,
well, I'm glad the polls worked for a little while.
Yeah, they did. Now, when I want to do my jump school later on today, this is going to get exhausting carrying the polls back and forth.
It's exercise. Just look at it as exercise.
Yeah, it was fun exercise last night, trust me.
Hey, speaking of exhausting, we have a caller on the line. I want to take her quick. You don't mind, because we're going to, you know, we all get exhausted at Rolex because we have so much fun, and you're walking around the 1,200-acre horse park in Kentucky for 4 days, and you just get tired and exhausted, but it's so much fun, and there's something else fun that's going on that Bit of Britain is putting on over there that we're part of, and I have Molly from Bit of Britain on here. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Hey, tell us what the Chase the Challenge Kentucky edition is.
Well, it's basically a challenge that we designed off of the Bit of Britain Just Chase, regular Chase the Challenge, which is to benefit lower-level eventers just across the nation, and kind of played off of the idea to stimulate the competitive spirit of those attending Rolex. And basically what will happen is everybody will start at the Bit of Britain tent and receive their clues. And the clues are basically questions, which will take around sponsor row to different vendors there in their tents, and they're going to have to find the answers to the questions within sponsor row. Now, once they do that, they will then come back to the Bit of Britain tent and turn in all the answers to their questions and be entered to win over $1,000 worth of prizes donated by participating sponsors such as Farnham, Neutrina, Charles Owen, Chronicle of the Horse, and yourself, Horse Radio Network. So
and
it's really
exciting. That's $1,000 a day, Molly?
$1,000 worth of prizes a day.
Woohoo!
Yeah,
we got
a pretty big loot going on.
Can Jamie play or are we exempt?
Yeah, I want to play.
Everybody's welcome to play, and all the questions change every single day. So you could do it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to be entered to win all 4 days, technically. But because we definitely change the questions up, so we make it a challenge for you every single day.
Can you put one of the questions as, who is the Horse Radio Network host with the most horse problems?
Well, that's too easy.
That's fun.
They don't have to come find that out. They just were going to know that one.
Jamie, your reputation precedes you.
Oh, really? It's me. I don't think that's where she was going. So this is great. So we show up at you guys, the Bit of Britain tent, and we get some sort of piece of paper, almost like, is it like a bingo card, and we have to fill in answers to questions, or what?
Basically, we're going to have sheets of paper, but we're also going to try and keep it digital this year. We're going to, I don't know if you guys have heard of QR codes, these, you know, weird box things that show up on all these ads these days, but if you scan the QR code with your phone, then it will bring up basically the questionnaire on your smartphone or your iPad or whatever you're carrying around with you at Rolex.
Look at you guys.
I know. We're getting fancy. So that way, you know, be a little bit green, conserve some paper, and, you know, people that way can just, you know, go around with their phones and fill out the questions and enter right there and, you know, there it is. It goes straight into our database, and we pick a winner every day. Every day at 4 o'clock, a winner is going to be chosen, except for show jumping day. It's going to be after the last horse jumps.
Can you give us an example of a question that's going to be, like, ask? I mean, is this, like, history of Rolex, or is it, like, hey, who's standing behind this so-and-so tent and blah, blah, blah?
They all pertain, I don't want to give away the questions, I don't want to give people too much time to, you know, do some research and prepare, but basically they're all tailored to each specific sponsor that's participating. So, for example, we have Farnham participating, so a question will be tailored to maybe one of their fly spray products. What's their new fly spray, or what is this fly spray meant to do? And so that challenger will then have to go to the Farnham booth and kind of search around, maybe grab some promotional items, maybe talk to the Farnham reps a little bit and find the answer to that question. So it's a really great way to not only bring people to our tent and to see what we have to offer, but also everybody kind of around sponsor row.
I love this idea, and it's going to get everybody into each one of the tents to see what everybody has to offer and to reward everybody with prizes. I love it.
Yep, and we've been really, really fortunate, like I said, for our participating sponsors. Again, that's Farnham, Neutrina, Charles Owen, Chronicle, and Horse Radio Network for donating all of this because they're really the ones who made this happen. You know, they were overly generous with what they wanted to give and, you know, are just going above and beyond, and we really couldn't do the challenge without them. So we're definitely really appreciative of our sponsors and hope that, you know, everybody else gets to get all the good information from all of them and, you know, learns a little bit, and hopefully it creates, like, a fun camaraderie around Rolex.
You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get you and maybe the winner up to come up every morning because we'll be broadcasting live at 9 a.m. From the sponsor area. We'll have to get you, and maybe you can drag the winner up from the day before, and we'll get them on the show in the morning.
That would be a fantastic idea. Unfortunately, I'm going to be holding down the fort in PA while everybody is
not
at rolling.
You're not
coming? I'm not coming. I will be manning the fort up from up here up north, but John Nunn will be there, and you know I'm happy to come on the phone and talk to them if I can somehow get them up to the tent. But yeah, I would definitely love to hear from the winners and kind of see their experience and how they enjoyed completing the challenge for sure.
All right, I'll talk to John about that when we get down there.
Sounds good. I'll leave it to you, Glenn.
I can't believe you're not going to be there, Molly. I was looking forward to meeting you.
Well, you're just going to have to come to Pennsylvania.
I lived in Pennsylvania for a long time, and now I moved to Florida.
Don't
so
you miss
you're...
the buggies?
To be honest, not so much.
It was buggy rush hour the other day. It was crazy out there.
People that don't know what we're talking about is Molly lives in southern Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where there are more buggies than cars some days.
Yep. They cause traffic, and they get me late to work sometimes, in all honesty. Like, I have to put the buggies at fault for sometimes getting me late to work.
Before I met Jennifer, that was my sole experience with horses, was having to pass buggies on the way to and from places. That was all I knew about horses, was they got in my way. That's what I knew.
And now look at where you are.
I know. Well, that's bitterbritain.com. Is there going to be information on the website about this, too?
We will have some information up, hopefully, by the end of this week. And we also will be doing kind of a little teaser video, Glenn, one of Amy's famous videos that she does. We're hoping to come up with some funny teaser regarding the challenge. So stay tuned
okay.
for that and be searching around our website for that.
All right. We'll keep everybody informed. Thank you so much, Molly. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Bye. That's
bye-bye.
The Chase the Challenge Kentucky edition. Well, Jamie, it is time for my Crappy List Wednesday. Are you ready for my Crappy List?
No. Not at all.
I
go
have
ahead.
A good crappy list for you this
okay.
week. It's a good crappy list. I have the top 10 most quirky sports from around the world. These this was done by cheapflights.co.uk, really reputable site over there in England.
Cheap Flights, is that what it's called?
Cheapflights.co.uk. Don't ask me how I find this stuff. Their subline is all the news you can use and tips for smarter travelers. And, of course, the Olympics are coming to London, so they thought they would highlight some of the sports from around the world that are not in the Olympics. And, actually, we'll see how many you and our listeners have done of these sports. And Jennifer and I can honestly say, have done one of these. I don't think we've done the last one. Nope, we've done one of these. So we'll see how many of these
Freedom.
You have done. All right, you ready?
Let's go.
Camel racing in the United Arab Emirates. Apparently, camel racing is very popular. They race on a sand track that's 10 miles long. They have jockeys, and the owners of the camels actually drive beside the camels, honking their horns and screaming and yelling to keep them going. They
wow.
say the louder the shouting, the faster they run. There could be up to 70
Dude.
Camels in a race. And they said there have been people trampled by the camels because they're not quite good at staying in the lines. So camel racing in the United Arab Emirates. Have you ever camel raced?
No, I have never camel raced ever. So strike me off the list for that one.
Have you ever ridden a camel? I did once. That was kind of fun, actually.
I can't even say I've ridden a camel. I rode an elephant, but that's it.
Okay. You must have looked like a little pea up there on the elephant, let me tell you.
so fun.
Okay, the second one is tuna tossing. Yes, I said tuna tossing, and it's at the Tuna Tossing World Championship, which occurs at the Tunarama Festival in Port Lincoln, Australia. Men and women 16 years and older fight it out to toss a frozen tuna. And they apparently the world record is 25 meters, which is like 70. It's like 3/4 of a football field. So they actually toss these tunas a long way. What they do is they grab the frozen tuna by the tail and they do it like they do shot put. They do the whole twirling in a circle thing. And I watched the video. It's pretty funny, actually. So if you're picturing, you know, non-frozen tuna splattering all over the field, that's not what happens. It's a frozen tuna. I guess it unfreezes during the competition, probably. Probably gets stinky after a while. But have you ever tossed a tuna? I got to be careful how you say that one, Dave.
I go every year to Australia for the tuna tossing. Duh. It's like my favorite thing. No,
okay,
I've
well,
never
the next one has a lot of double entendre, which I can't do any of it on this family show, so I'm just going to say what it is. It's greasy pole climbing. It's a messy and challenging sport, and it's a crowd favorite in Indonesia, Brazil, the UK, and the Caribbean. And depending on the local tradition, competitors try either shimming up a vertical pole laden with grease or to reach the end of a slickened horizontal pole without splashing into the sea. My guess on this one is that there's lots of alcoholic beverages involved.
You should just move on. Greasy pole climbing. Just go to the next one.
Yes. How about cheese rolling? Have you ever heard of cheese rolling?
Let me ask you this, because I want to go back to the beginning. Did you say you've actually done 9 of these?
No, one of these. One.
Okay.
We haven't gotten to what I've done yet. So cheese rolling's done in the UK, and what happens here is, well, you know, cheese rolling sounds so civilized, you know, like might be something that the British do, and, you know, it's all this fancy stuff. Well, it's not. It is a bone-crushing race where people run, stumble, and slide down a steep hill to catch a massive roll of cheese. So what they do is they roll this big roll of cheese down a hill, and you have to try and catch it. And that's pretty much what the sport is. And apparently there are a lot of broken bones involved, and people, in fact, have caught the cheese. And there's a lot of double entendre there, which I'm going to let it all go to. Cheese rolling, only found in the UK.
Is the kind of cheese listed, is it a Colby? Is it like a finer cheese,
they
like a Brie?
Really say the type of cheese. I kind of think that also on this one, there's probably alcoholic beverages involved. Because, you know, you can't have your cheese without your wine, right?
I don't know if a Brie would roll. It's so soft. You would need
yes.
a cheddar.
I know. Smoked Gouda, maybe. I don't know. It just depends on how hard I would work to catch it. Like, I mean, I'm not going to, like, haul butt down a hill for some Velveeta. I mean, it's got to be something pretty fancy. A Havarti, maybe.
Now, the next one, I think you've probably played it, too, because you lived in Kentucky for some time. Believe it or not, the next one is a famous Kentucky sport. Do you have any guess of what the famous Kentucky sport would be that is on this list of quirky sports from around the world?
The sports that I did in Kentucky included riding and drinking. So those two things, that's it.
Okay. This one is done while drinking and tailgating and at barbecues all over Kentucky.
Cornhole!
Yes, you're exactly right. Cornhole. Cornhole is that thing where they have the board with the hole in it, and you take the little bean bags and you try and throw them. And I think that this one also gets better the more you drink, don't you?
You know, it's kind of a stupid game anyway. We used to play that when we would go to the university. My brother tailgates every University of Georgia football game. And, you know, I guess, like, I'm not really an all-day drinker. I'm kind of like nighttime I'll drink and then I fall asleep. So the science of drinking all day long and tailgating and throwing a beanbag through a hole on the ground where then you have to walk over and pick it up, to me it was pretty stupid. I don't get it, but that's it. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, did you realize there's an American Cornhole Association and that the prize money for the tournaments can be up to $20,000? That makes it a little more interesting. Yeah, I know. Okay, now the next one I can't even say. It's called Buzzkashi. And literally translated, it means goat grabbing. Yes, I said goat grabbing. As far as how it's played, well, imagine polo, but with one slight modification. Both sports involve two opposing teams competing on horseback with the aim of maneuvering an object into a scoring area. The only difference is that in Buzzkashi, you use the carcass of a goat.
Ah!
I know. These days it says a calf is used more often than a goat, as the carcass of a calf is more durable and does not fall apart as much.
Ah, this is gross. Move on.
This is done in Afghanistan, by the way. All right, on to the next one.
No
is
kidding.
Called...
I could have guessed.
You can never guess that. This one is in China. It's called bun climbing. And what they are 18-meter-tall steel structure covered with delicious decorative steamed buns. I mean the kind you eat, that kind of bun. And what they do is they stick buns to these long poles, these 18-foot poles, 18-meter poles. And what you have to do is climb this pole and grab as many of the buns as you can. And the one that gets to the top with the most buns wins.
That sounds ridiculous.
And then, for you Harry Potter fans out there, because Jennifer and I are huge Harry Potter fans, how about Quidditch? Yes, the Harry Potter sport, Quidditch.
That's not a real sport.
It's now being played. Muggles are playing it everywhere, with one exception. Nobody's quite figured out the flying broom thing. So they're actually using broomsticks to hit the ball. So you try and hit this ball through a hoop, and you smash into each other. It's pretty much dodgeball with sticks, with brooms, actually. And they've kind of made a sport out of it. And it was started at a college, and my guess is that there was alcoholic beverages involved. Do you see a theme here with these sports, by the way?
You know, let me just, like, Quidditch is a game that is played in the middle of the air, and they're flying around on broomsticks, and you have to hit the balls, and there's one magical ball called the Golden Snitch that flies around, and if Harry catches it, because he is the seeker, he wins. Now, not that I'm a Harry Potter geek or anything. So I don't understand how exactly it can be a game that people are playing.
It's funny you ask that, because there's one gold-suited player that darts around carrying a sock stuffed with a tennis ball that serves as the snitch, and it must be captured to end the match. So there you go. My guess is he's drunker than the rest of them. That's my guess.
And they just hit him with their broom.
Yeah.
Got him.
Until he gives it up. The next one is outhouse racing. Once again, I think there's probably alcohol involved. Rugged living leads to rowdy sports, and this is found in the United States. Several places in the United States have outhouse racing, and the Australians also have their version of it. And basically what you do is you modify outhouses to have wheels, and you go down hills very quickly. So that's outhouse racing at its finest. In Australia, there's prize money up to $3,000 for racing your outhouse down a hill. And the final one is something that has become very popular on TV, and I would love to try it sometime, and that's pumpkin chunking. You ever see pumpkin chunking, where they throw the pumpkins as far as they can with these big...
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that, and there's... Yeah, again, you got to be drinking.
I think so. Do you know how many fans they get now? They get hundreds of thousands of fans for the World Pumpkin Chunking Championships every year in Sussex County, Delaware. Hundreds of thousands of people come out to watch this. It's
we
huge.
We maybe get 100,000 people for Rolex. 3 days or 4 days of the most grueling equestrian exciting sport of all time. And they get hundreds of thousands for people throwing pumpkins. Really?
Exactly. Yes.
What is wrong with this world?
I kind of think there's alcohol involved. Just saying.
Here.
All right. That's my crappy list Wednesday. And we have our first guest on the line.
Hold
here.
On. Yes. I have a question before we go any further for Jennifer. Jennifer, I need you to come on here because you posted a trivia question on our Facebook page yesterday and never gave the answer. So I need the answer. How do you – yeah, exactly. We need the answer. So if you could let us know, I think the trivia question was something like a horse that – you know, because we were talking about Havre de Grace pulling out of the apple blossom because – the weight, the people that assigned the weights gave her too much weight, 126 pounds. And then you ask a trivia question, which horse had carried 130 pounds six times in its two-year-old year? And A lot of people said Man O' War, but if you recall, Man O' War did not run as a two-year-old. He did not run in the Kentucky Derby, which is why he was not a Triple Crown winner. That's the only reason. So, I got to know. Is it Farlap?
No, it was Man O' War, according to Wikipedia.
But Man O' War didn't even run in the Derby. They said it was too early.
Huh.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm gonna have to check my references.
Well, I could be wrong. I've been wrong maybe once before, so.
Let's see. Man O' War.
I'll Google it. Okay, well, then you just have to write the answer down.
I'm sure Wikipedia is not
wrong. Right here it is.
Never wrong.
Wade Carey. Yeah. As a two-year-old, he carried 130 pounds in six races.
But why?
As a three-year-old, he carried 138 pounds in several races.
Dear God. Poor horse. But that's why he's
no
Man O' War.
That wasn't age.
All right, well, while you two figure that out, let's go to our segment we like to do here occasionally called Things You Will Never Own. And this time we have a terrific place, and I want the shower. I don't care if I get the rest of the house. I don't care if I get the farm. I don't care if I get any of that. I just want the shower. And to help us talk about this, we have Brian Smith, who is of Hall and Hall in one of the most beautiful places in the world, and that's Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
I tell you, thank you so much for getting up so early to talk to us. I know Jamie's been to Steamboat Springs many times, and I'll tell you what, when we saw this property, this is a property that any horse person would dream about. It's a property that any person would dream about because this house is over the top. It is so cool. Tell us about the whole place.
It is a pretty spectacular place, and thank you. It's one property that's within Creek Ranch, which is about a 2,500-acre shared ranch, shared amenity ranch development that's just about 15 miles southwest of Steamboat Springs. So the owner of this has a beautiful log home and a barn with guest quarters. And in addition to that 10-acre property, they also have access to the entire 2,500-acre ranch with streams and ponds and horse trails. And it's a completely dialed-in place.
So this is like the ultimate equestrian community.
It really is. It's attracted a lot of attention over the years. They sold out all the lots, and this is now a resale. These owners built the house years ago, and they're now looking to downsize and to move to a different location.
I got to tell you, I am looking at pictures. Jamie, you have to look at the pictures. This is a log home, and the inside of this house is just gives you goosebumps. It's incredible. Now, I assume you've been in this one and been around it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, compared to other log homes, you see, I mean, does this one give you goosebumps when you walk in it, too? I mean, it's just incredible.
It's a pretty special place, and they built it in a great spot. It's got really nice views out of all the windows all the way around. And just the setting with there's a couple pastures, and they have four horses that would graze in the pastures just outside, and it's just a really special spot. And then they did a really good job on the house itself. Very well constructed, impeccably decorated, very nice finishes. It's really over the top.
The master bedroom is about as big as our house. And then the shower. Let's talk about the shower. I have what on my bucket list someday is to own a shower with multiple shower heads. We're talking not multiple. We're talking a dozen or more shower heads in this shower. It is pretty cool.
That is one of the highlights. No
Can I just have the shower? Is that like $500,000 right there? Just have that shipped over to my house because that is pretty incredible. And then the barn, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful barn.
It is. They did a great job. It's actually attached to the house, yet it's separate. There's four stalls inside with automatic waterers, and it's next to one of the pastures with the dry lot, and really works out well for a horse owner.
And you can ride on the 2,400 acres that it's part of? Is that right?
You can, exactly. That was one of the focuses of this development in the first place, was to allow the owners great places to ride to. There's a number of existing trails. For example, you could ride to water and go for a 2 or 3 hour ride to go up to one of the upper lakes and water the horses and then return. Really, you can ride throughout the property. There's no restrictions that you have to stay on the trails, but there are some well ones that have been established.
And, you know, we live in an equestrian community, too, but I can see my neighbors. From the pictures here, it doesn't look like your neighbors are right next door, 10 feet away.
That's a great point. This one has a lot of privacy. Each of the individual lots are about 10 to 15 acres, and so you're not right next to anybody. This particular property also has open space on two sides, so you're protected on the south and kind of the east side as well.
Jamie, I think you should move. This isn't far.
You know, there is no place that Chad would rather move to than Colorado, and Steamboat Springs would definitely be one of those places. It is one of my favorite places to ski, and it's such a fun little town. And the camaraderie and the people there are super nice. But because I don't have the pictures in front of me, Glenn, I'm curious to know what is so special about the shower. What in particular?
Well, it's about the size of most people's bedrooms. It has about 85 shower heads and looks like it's made out of ornate marble. Am I close on that?
You are close.
Wow.
Okay. It's huge. You can fit about 12 people in there. So if you have a lot of friends that you're very comfy with, the shower would be a perfect place to have a party.
After people do ski, they love to go, everybody sits in the hot tub together. So why not just, stretch out and get in the shower? We can all fit.
Well, there's a couple of fireplaces, too, that you can hang out in front of. It's just an incredible log cabin. I mean, it's always been a dream of ours to own a log cabin. The kitchen. What I thought was interesting about the kitchen, is the kitchen actually that kind of silver color it shows in the...
That might be a little... I'm not sure if the colors are maybe adjusted a little bit by the professional photography that was done.
Yeah. Okay. Because I thought that was really cool. I'd never seen anything like that. But it's one of those incredible kitchens, too. I love to cook. And when I see kitchens like that, it just makes you drool.
Very well designed.
This is a terrific property. Where can people go to find more out about it?
HollandHall.com is our website, and we have a lot of information on this and other properties there. So I would invite your listeners to log in or call us with any questions.
And this one's only $2.4 million, Jamie. You guys could move tomorrow.
Woo!
Just have him quit his job.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. We appreciate you being on. And Jennifer's going to post a link to that property on our Facebook page as well. Go check it out. It's worth taking a look at. And you have a great day out there in Steamboat Springs.
I plan to. And thank you very much. I enjoyed chatting
with
you.
All right, bye-bye. Oh, it's fun to dream. So there were three lottery winners. The big lottery, the record-breaking lottery was a couple weeks ago, and it paid out $660 million. There were three different tickets sold. Well, one of the tickets has been claimed so far, the New Jersey group, and there were three people that went in together, and they're remaining anonymous. Their lawyer went to pick up the check. They are all teachers. That's what we know about them is they're teachers, and they each are taking home $33 million after taxes. So,
dang.
And what was interesting about that was all three of them had at least two jobs. The one had three jobs. So do you think they're going to keep any of their jobs at this point? They're winning $33 million.
I don't know. I don't know. But what I want to know is that you said that one ticket has been claimed. Does that mean that two tickets have not been claimed?
Correct. And each of those tickets is worth about $110 million after taxes.
Oh, God, I got to get my ticket checked. Oh, because I heard somebody won, and I never looked at my ticket, and I hope it's in my purse. I know it's in my purse. It's in my wallet. It's folded up. I hope it's still there because it's clearly worth $100-something million. So I got to go.
And, of course, you're going to keep your job. You're going to keep doing this every morning after you win, right? Just that.
You know what I'm going to do, Glenn, is here's what I'm going to do. When I'm sitting on top of my throne doing my show with my crown on my head, as I sit there, some mornings I may just think about logging on and talking to you. Some mornings you might be like,
"Oh, you're going to call in on the call-in number? You'll be a caller occasionally."
No, well, I'll be on my throne. So you can call me. And I may or may not choose to answer. It just depends on how I'm feeling. But I will guarantee you this, that if for some reason I did win the lottery and I decide maybe that I'm going to keep my job, I guarantee to you this show is now at noon, my time.
There's a new movie out called Mirror, Mirror. Has anybody seen it? I want to know if any of our listeners have seen it. Post on Facebook and let us know if you've seen Mirror, Mirror. It's a Snow White story, but it looks like it's a lot of fun. It's not animated, and it just looks like a lot of fun. I actually do want to go see it, and I'm not much at, you know me, I'm not much at fairy tales and stuff, but I do want to go see that one. It looks like
you
fun.
You love Disney World more than any human possibly should, and you don't like fairy tales? Come
on. It's not real big on the whole. I don't mind the animated fairy tales as long as there's no singing. If it's singing animation, I can't do it. I just...
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm a girl? A girl.
How about we let Jeff
Dawson
do that part with a little
treasures untold?
With his version of Brister.
Once upon a time in the Corin country, there was a very beautiful girl, and her name was Rindersella. Now Rindersella lived with her muggly other and her two sad blisters. Now in this same Corin country, there was a very prancing hint, and he was going to have a bancy fall. So he invited people for a riles amount, especially all the pitch people. Now Rindersella and her mugly other and their two sad blisters went out and bought themselves some drancy fesses to wear to the bancy fall. But Rindersella could not go, because all she had to wear was a bunch of old rurdy dags. Well, the night of the Bancy Fall came, and Rindersella could not go, so she just cat down and scried. Well, she was getting there a-scrying when all of a sudden appeared before her a fairy modgother. Now, the fairy modgother touched Rindersella with her wagic mop. And all of a sudden appeared before her a Sig Boach and Hicks White Sources to take her to the Bancy Fall. Now the fairy modgother said, Rindersella, you must be home before Nidmite, or I'll turn you into a tumpkin. So Rindersella went to the Bancy Fowl, and the Prince of Hints was waiting on her because he'd been watching her behind a wooden hinder. Well, Rindersella and the Prince of Hints nanced all night long, and they lell in fuck. Just before the clock struck midnight, Rindersella staced down the rares, and just before she beached the rottom, she slopped her dripper.
My favorite line.
The very next day, the Prance of Hints went all over the Corin country looking for the very beautiful girl that slopped her dripper. And he finally came to Rindersella's house. And he tried it on Rindersella's mugly other, and it fit and did. Then he tried it on her two Stiggly Usters, and it fit and did. Then he tried it on Rindersella, and it fit did. It was exactly the sight rise. So they got married and lived heavily ever happards. Now, the story of the Maury is, if you're going to go to a Corin country, and you're going to go to a Bancy Fall and loll in fub with the Prance of Hints, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Part of the world. Did you get the whole song? Did you hear the whole thing?
Yeah, I got it. Thank you. That was excellent,
God.
Jamie. Just excellent.
I love The Little Mermaid. Thank you. I heard all the applause. I figured that was for me.
Yeah, it was. Did you notice in that, doesn't it seem like the applause was off?
Like a little too fast, yeah.
Or like it was just in the wrong spot. I couldn't decide whether he was actually doing, that's Jeff Dawson, by the way, who's a cowboy poet. I couldn't decide if he was doing that in front of an audience or they put a laugh track in and it was off. It was like they put it at the wrong spot.
About that. Maybe I thought he just was making funny facial expressions or something.
Well, that could be, maybe, because it just seemed like it was all off. It just, oh, it was weird. Anyway, Slopped Her Dripper is the only reason I play that.
She slopped her. Yeah, got it. Right.
Horses in the Morning here. I'm Glenn the Geek, along with Jamie Jennings out there in Phoenix, Arizona, and Coach Jen. Coach Jen is getting kind of excited today because Beaker should be getting on the truck shortly to head from Lexington, Kentucky, down here to our new home in Ocala. So Beaker is leaving the beautiful green, lush grass of Lexington to come down here to no grass at all underneath the live oak trees. Do you think he's going to be really happy about this?
Well, the good news is he's not going to have to wear that stupid, god-awful 1,000-pound muzzle you guys have on him. My God, the big metal grate. Like a kid who broke his jaw and had it wired shut is what he looks like with that thing on. So I think he's going to appreciate the fact that he's free. There may be nothing to eat, but at least he's not going to get laminitis.
That's true. He won't get overly fat. And Jennifer is so looking forward to him arriving tomorrow. And what time is he supposed to arrive tomorrow, Jennifer?
Early in the morning. Now, he has to take a shuttle from the farm in Lexington to the transfer station in Lexington, which is like a 10-minute drive, because the giant tractor trailer won't fit down the driveway.
Yep.
And then he's going to take the giant tractor trailer from Lexington to the transfer station in Ocala. And then he's going to hop on another little itty-bitty shuttle and come here to Horse Radio Network headquarters, because our little tiny residential roads back here, again, do not fit the ginormous, super-duper comfortable horse van. I think he's going to get into Ocala at about 4 a.m., but I don't think he's going to get here to the house until a little bit later in the morning, because I don't think the shuttles run at the overnight shift.
You know what we'll have to do during the show tomorrow, Jamie, is we'll have to have a Sally. Sally Horse Vans is the one that's delivering Beaker. And we'll have to have a Sally watch during the show.
Yeah, all of a sudden our producer is gone.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Where did Jennifer go?
We'll have a Sally watch. Guaranteed, I guarantee you, Jamie, if Sally Vans pulls in here, she is out of here. She's deserting us like the plague.
Don't you feel like it's really amazing? And I say this every single time I load my horse. That horse gets in the dang trailer in the first place, but your horse is going to have to get on a trailer and be driven around, probably in a horse van. And then moments after that, he's going to get in a semi for 12 hours. And then after that, he's going to get in another horse van from Sally and come all the way to your house. Don't you think at some point that they would be like, I'm not doing that again. Nah,
yeah.
Nah, I'm done.
Screw you people.
I'm done. Every time my horse loads in my trailer and we go to California, it's like 6.5 hours. You know, I'm like, really? I cannot. Like, really? You're going to get in again? Why? Why would you do that to yourself? And all I have is a carrot. You can have a carrot outside the trailer anytime you want, and you're going to get all the way in here and ride here for 6 hours for a piece of candy, you know, or something stupid. I find it amazing. Thank God they do, because if I was a horse, I would never get in a trailer ever. Banging, loud, destructive, awful, awful.
Have you ever ridden in one of the ginormous tractor trailer size horse vans, Jamie?
Yes, that is I have ridden in a two-horse bumper pull in the back with the baby, and I have ridden in the giant tractor trailer ones. And the thing with the tractor trailer ones is they are very smooth, but they are very loud.
Yes.
It's like a
limousine with no muffler.
Yes, very, well, okay. I wasn't going to go that far. Because in a limousine,
well,
they have food.
From a horse's point of view, perhaps.
compared to my
Craigslist two horse.
Yeah, well, I just wouldn't do it if I was a horse. Let's put this on Facebook, and I don't know how with our Facebook if we're getting good responses with polls or questions, but I want you to ask on Facebook, if you were a horse, would you ever get in a trailer? Because I guarantee that the answer is going to be no. I mean, if I was a horse, there's no way.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I don't know why they do that, you know, other than they get hay the whole time. You know, a lot of times you just overstuff the hay thing. But you're right. I don't know why they didn't either.
That's because you're food motivated, Glenn. So you're like,
true.
Is there hay?
True.
Sweet.
If you feed me the whole
Fried
way, I'll get in.
Grass. Yeah. Mm, gross. Yeah.
Chocolate
All
chip
right,
cookies
well,
and cake the whole way, I'll get in.
That was my thought for the day was, if I was a horse. Sorry, that's in my head now. Hey, we got some news stories for you. I watched The Voice last night. Did you watch Idol? Did you watch American Idol last night?
Idol is on tonight and tomorrow night. So it was The Voice. And
really?
You really are kind of in a bad place because The Voice and Dancing with the Stars are on at the same time.
I know. And I tried to flip back and forth, but it was the results show, and I never even watched that in the first place. But The Voice has me just completely caught at attention. I can't even turn away from it. Plus, I start the recording, and then I sit down like 15 minutes later, so then I didn't have to watch any commercials. So I don't really have a reason to flip to Dancing with the Stars during the commercials. And I just had to let my mother know that it's just not going to happen this year. I'm sorry. Send me pictures or video clips of Derek dancing. That always makes me happy. But for the most part, I got to watch Blake Shelton on The Voice and Adam Levine. Oh, my God, he's so cute.
And that had to do with horses how?
It doesn't. But I do have a news story for you, for real. That's why I keep singing today, because I had The Voice on my brain. Remember yesterday we talked about Rick Dutrow, the kind of dirtbag trainer. Dirtbag is alleged dirtbag, who has been basically drugging horses or breaking the rules in racing for quite the long time. And finally they gave him a lifetime ban. Well, then he went ahead and he, you know, what is it when they protest the ban? He
appealed.
Appealed it. Thank you very much. Well, the Maryland Racing Commission voted unanimously to uphold a decision to disqualify a horse named King and Crusader from his win in the Maryland Juvenile Cup last year. Because apparently, you know, when they give the horses LASIK to keep them from bleeding in the lungs, they have to give it to the horse a certain amount of time beforehand. I think it's at least two hours before the race. Well, he popped a horse with the drug an hour before the race. And so Rick Dutrow is facing the 10-year suspension from the New York State Racing Board for the history of violations nationwide. This horse, he appealed, and the horse ended up disqualified anyway. And I just want to give a little what's up to the Maryland Racing Commission for sticking to their guns. I'm very sad for the horse King and Crusader because he looks like a very fine, fantastic horse who, you know, unfortunately, was just part of the Rick Dutrow drugging era, I guess, you know, and unfortunately he's still out there training horses until the appeals process is over. But just to let you know, just keeping you updated.
All right, cool. And you know what? There's speaking of horses, there's a we put this in yesterday. There's a London policeman by the name of Andy Siri that has set off on a fundraising journey, and this is a 2,000-mile fundraising journey, and he's riding a horse. Well, you know, we've had other people on. We followed people that have ridden across this country and on horseback and everything. Well, there is a difference, though. He's actually riding a rocking horse. Yes, it's a rocking horse on wheels. Now, everybody knows what a rocking horse looks like. Rocking horses usually rock back and forth and don't go anywhere. So I'm assuming as he rocks back and forth, the wheels are actually going to propel him. I haven't figured that out quite yet.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the earth is downhill because that looks to be the only way he's going. You know, unless he's going to put his foot out, you know, feet out and walk the rocking horse. What you failed to mention is, can you describe so this guy is going to ride 2,000 miles on a rocking horse, fundraising rocking horse on wheels. And can you describe to the audience what he is wearing?
Well, he's wearing a knight's outfit with armor and mail and the tunic and the whole thing. And apparently he's going to wear the knight's outfit for the entire time. You know what? I figured it out. He's going to start in the north of Britain and end in the south of Britain, so it's all downhill.
Oh. So it is downhill. Gotcha.
Yeah. That's
that
all
makes
good.
Sense.
No problem.
Yeah.
He's hoping to raise money for charity, and he's doing it for a good cause. It's for the Jockeys Fund, the Injured Jockeys Fund there in England. So good luck to the London policeman on his 2,000-mile journey on a rocking horse on wheels.
You know what?
Uncomfortable.
I mean, my butt hurts riding my bicycle to the end of the driveway to get the mail. My butt hurts after riding my horse for more than an hour, hour and a half. This guy's riding 2,000 miles on a wooden seat on a rocking horse. Okay, that's ridiculous.
In a suit of armor.
In a suit of armor. Good point. Well, that's ridiculous. Good luck to you, my friend. I'm glad it's not me. So moving on to our next guest, we've got Michelle Anderson from thehorse.com, and she is here with the Weekly Health Report. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
I am good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Michelle has jury duty today.
I do, and I'm still here making this call and talking to you guys. But right
jury
after this, I am off to jury duty. Yep. I have it all this week. I have a trial Friday.
I'm going to tell you, my friend, that when you go to jury duty, you are going, because you live in Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're going to see people you did not know lived in Oregon.
Well,
you go
know,
to
the,
court.
The guy sitting next to me, he's a horse guy, so we chatted about his horses. He trail rides and had 6 stallions at one time. So anywhere you go, especially in this town, you can find a horse person to chat with and keep you company for many long, long hours waiting, which we've done a lot of.
For
and
50
I'm sure
years,
more of.
Michelle, for 50 years I've been I've wanted to be. I am actually one of those people that want to be on jury duty. I just want to do it. And I know they'd never pick me because, you know, when they ask me the questions, I'd say, I'd fry them. But they won't pick me anyway, but I've always wanted to do it, and I've never been picked. Maybe it's because I'm too anxious.
Yeah. You know, they didn't ask me very many questions, and I ended up with a seat. So we'll see what happens.
So they didn't ask you didn't get a chance to say I'd fry them? You didn't get a chance to say that?
They didn't. I never had the opportunity, no. Mm-mm. No. So...
Yeah.
I apparently was uninterested, but I don't know. I think I'm the perfect person. I knew I was going to end up on that jury. I have too much to do with thehorse.com this week. so I just knew that I would get a seat and be there all week instead of working. But that's okay.
Well,
it's my civic duty and all that. That's what the video they show you tells you. So.
Well, Jamie, let's do this so we can get her out of here to go to jury.
It's time for the Weekly Health Report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
This week, along with Michelle from thehorse.com, we have Dr. Brad Jackman of Pioneer Equine Hospital in Oakdale, California. All of us West Coasters are cussing the fact that the show is so early, but we appreciate you guys coming on with us, and we're going to talk about something that actually I unfortunately have had extensive experiences with, because we're going to talk about stifle issues, and I have a horse that has IUPF, and you know, going through the shoeing changes and the potential treatments. So I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about it and talk a little bit about the stifle. So take it away, Michelle. And good morning, Dr. Jackman.
Good morning.
Hi there. So last time Dr. Jackman was with us, he helped fill in for Dr. Jones, and he's here again this week to fill in for Dr. Jones, who has another engagement this morning.
Jury duty.
I have jury duty, and I'm still here, so I don't know. I have to call her on that. But we were talking about Western discipline injuries, and the stifle came up, so I thought it would be something good to dive a little bit deeper into what kind of things we're seeing going wrong in stifles. But I wanted to start out by having Dr. Jackman explain to us, where is the stifle on the horse and what is it specifically?
Well, the stifle is an upper joint of the hind limb that's in reality right near the flank area of the horse. And the stifle in a horse is equivalent to our knee. So it is a kind of a high-motion, weight-bearing joint that in a lot of the athletes today that we see, no different than human athletes, there's a lot of stress and strain that goes through that stifle. And so it is something that we see, you know, one, some developmental issues in, but we also see, you know, a considerable amount of injuries associated with it.
Okay. And so that joint, you said it's like the human knee. So how is it like the human knee, and what can go wrong with that?
Yeah,
joint?
I mean, as far as anatomy-wise, it's very similar. There's a few discrete differences, but, I mean, there's the big bone above it, you know, called the femur, and then, you know, you have the kneecap or what we call the patella, and then obviously the big bone below it's the tibia. And similar to human knees, we have an inside and an outside meniscus. There's a lot of ligaments associated with it. Because of those ligaments, we also have the cruciates in the horse. Some unique aspects regarding the horse cycle is that in a human, our knee is one big joint. In a horse, it's actually three different compartments. Those compartments may or may not communicate with each other. So sometimes when we're trying to figure out the lameness aspect, we can scratch our heads a little bit because you have to, you know, oftentimes block all three compartments to get a sound horse or an improvement in the lameness that you're looking for. And then the other thing that's a little different is our kneecap sits right on the front of our knee. Horse's kneecap sits up to the outside a little bit. We have one patellar ligament or tendon that extends from our kneecap down to the bone, and horses actually have three of them. And because of having those three ligaments, one of the things, obviously, when horses were roaming wild, they were prey animals. They were not the predators. And so one of the protective mechanisms was that they could actually take little catnaps standing and get some rest that way, but, you know, would be able then to obviously, you know, spot predators and, you know, run away as quickly as possible. And one way that they do that is they can actually catch part of the patella and the ligament attachment over a ridge on the big bone above, the femur, and that kind of locks their hind legs. So it kind of makes them, you know, rigid so that they could do these little catnaps in the wild.
And so with this being a complex joint, what kind of issues do we most commonly see in it?
Well, and one of them is what we call upward fixation of the patella. And so I believe that's the one that you've someone's been fighting with one of their younger horses. But
yeah,
it's where
I've
their kneecap actually – yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I said that's what I've been battling with my warm blood. When he was a little bit younger, had the problem of, you know, he only had ever lived on flat ground and wasn't really – used to being engaged before I got him as far as working hard, and his patella or his stifle would lock intermittently when we would try to, say, pick up the canter or go down hills or anything like that. So it became a problem as far as trying to, you know, I mean, just get through a dressage test was almost impossible without his stifle locking.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that we see more common in young horses. You know, definitely you see it if you have a horse conformationally that is more upright or what we call post-legged behind, because if you have less angle through the stifle, it makes it a little easier for that kneecap or patella to slip up over that ridge. The other aspect regarding it and being younger horses is when they go through growth rates, they can, you know, kind of grow their hind end faster than their front end, so they get a little bit what we call butt high compared to their withers, makes them straighter through the stifle. And then in reality, it's muscles that keep the tension on this kneecap, keep kind of pulled up into the outside. And in younger horses, a lot of them just don't have the muscle development, or they're being a little late in developing that muscle. And so they're a little bit loose or kind of, quote, sloppy in their stifles. While they're younger, and then once they kind of usually get into work and get a little bit more. But we definitely, you know, the warm bloods are a little bit later in developing that musculature. And so we definitely see a higher predisposition in the warm bloods probably than any other breed of horse.
Now, my quarter horse had this issue when he was a yearling, two-year-old-ish. And as an adult horse, he's 9 now, I haven't had any issues. So is it something that they typically grow out of, or are there any leftover issues with the upward fixation later on
in life? By far and large, the majority of them just do outgrow it. However, there are times we have to give them a little bit of help, especially if they have anything conformationally that's predisposed, meaning, you know, being straighter through the stifles. And there's lots and lots that we can do to kind of get over the hump regarding this issue, some of them more conservative than others. It can range from just, you know, changing the way we're trimming them or shoeing them a little bit differently. Definitely a consistent exercise program, as much turnout as possible. You know, if we can, you know, the major muscles that attach this kneecap are the quadriceps and the biceps femoris. And in reality, if you or I wanted to go strengthen those, we'd go run stairs or we'd get on a stair climber, which with horses we can't. But so we'll do a lot of pole or cavaletti work. If there is an incline around, we'll do some trot work up and down the incline, trying to get that hind end to strengthen up a little bit. But by far and large, the majority of them do outgrow it. It's the ones that as you're getting more into the training and you're consistently or continuing to have this problem that we have to start intervening some way.
Now, the times that I had the problem the worst was 3 times my horse was injured himself to where he was on stall rest, unfortunately, 3 times for 6 months at a time he has suspensory issues. And 3 times I would bring him out and start to, you know, get him in a back-to-work program, and oh my gosh, there it is again, and it would rear his ugly head, so we'd have to do the shoeing changes and do some hill work. And then he would come right out of it. So it is something is that uncommon, Dr. Jackman, to see in a situation like that?
It's probably more uncommon to have someone that has a horse have to be laid up for 6 months and they still love the horse 3 times later. So
yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
But no, actually, that's a fairly typical history, especially if you've had one as a younger horse that's, you know, had a little bit of issue with this even when they're getting into their training, that it's one of the things, you know, as a, you know, a person that does a lot of surgery and lameness work, then it's something we always have to, you know, keep in mind and figure out how we're going to try and help manage this in these horses that we do have to confine and lay up for an extended period of time.
So for other things that are going on in the stifle, I know, you know, in humans, we often struggle with knee issues. But with our horses, it seems like we're always kind of going to the hock. Like, you know, I think my horse's hocks are sore. I think he needs injections, blah, blah, blah. How do you know if it's a stifle issue maybe rather than a hock issue?
Yeah, I mean, other than the upward fixation of the patella, I mean, generally, if we have a stifle injury or stress and strain coming through the stifle, the lameness is going to be more severe than just your routine hock thing. You know, to me, hocks are usually a performance issue. Stifles are generally a true lameness. And we are definitely, you know, in the Western performance horses, but also a lot in the dressage horses and the jumpers, we're seeing a lot of stress occurring through those stifles and a lot of torque stress. And as our diagnostic procedures are getting a little bit more advanced, you know, we can darn sure ultrasound those stifles and a lot of times get an idea of where we think we might have, you know, even a tear in the meniscus or a meniscal ligament or, you know, that type of thing. So we're looking at more of a lameness issue versus a performance issue between hocks and stifles.
So, and like, I had a friend who hurt her knee, and she was laid up for almost an entire year between surgery and doing physical therapy. If your horse has this kind of injury, how long is the layup going to be?
Yeah, and it varies tremendously depending on how much, quote, damage, you know, occurred during the injury. I think the most important thing is that you know, if we have a horse, and let's say, you know, it is a little bit of a lameness issue, they've tried the hock injections, it's not working. I mean, I think the important thing to try and figure out is, okay, let's localize the lameness as much as possible. If it is a stifle, let's get the imaging done. We need to try and characterize it. But, you know, if we think we have a problem, we know it's a stifle region, we think there's an issue in there regarding it, whether ultrasound or whatever, I mean, what we're going to recommend is arthroscopic surgery to go in and see. Cartilage, joint cartilage does not show up on x-rays, so we're going to look for joint cartilage damage. You know, unfortunately, the cruciate ligaments, there's no real way to image those well in horses. Ultrasound, bone gets in the way of them being able to be seen on ultrasound, so it's not really a viable way to look at them. But we can look and see if there's a tear in that cruciate ligament. If there is, we can clean up that tear. We're seeing more and more meniscal injuries. We can go in and, no, we don't have the technology able to be able to suture these things and withstand horses, but we can darn sure if there's flaps, meniscal flaps, tears, that type of thing, we can go in and remove those. And a lot of these horses, yes, it'll be a six-month layup time or something like that, but they will come back and be full athletes again.
And you said that you're seeing more of these kind of injuries. Is that because the diagnostics are getting better, or are we asking more of our horses? Do you have
I think it's a combination of everything. I think one is we're asking more of our horses. I think two is we're breeding better and better athletes. You know, if you look at, you know, how many cruciate ligament injuries occur in peewee football players versus, you know, high school versus college versus professional, obviously the better the athlete, the more stress they put through the joint, the incidence of injury goes up. So I think we're breeding better athletes. So I think they're actually doing more stress through their joints themselves because of their athletic performance. But I do think that some of it is we've gotten better at diagnosing these things, and we've gotten better at, to be quite honest, going and looking for them. So I think it's a combination of all those things.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jackman. I appreciate you joining us and answering our questions this week. I'm going to direct the listeners to thehorse.com's Facebook page. We have a video posted up there of joint therapies. We also have an AAEP story, if you go search on thehorse.com, about physical therapy for stifle injuries, which I found really interesting. So take a look at that.
Well, thank you, and have a great day in jury duty.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thanks, Dr. Jackman. Always a pleasure having you on, and thanks for filling in for Dr. Jones. Now, Michelle, seriously, you probably have to get out of here. Can you tell us about the case, or is it like we could tell you, but we'd have to kill you, or you have to be like, you can tell us later?
Yeah, I can tell you later. I can't tell you now because that's grounds for a mistrial. So, but next week, feel free to ask me about it.
Is it awesome, or are we going to think it's lame, like a car wreck or something? Like, are we going to be like, oh, my God, you were part of the Scranton Strangler case? Or is it going to be like, oh, you were like, you know, it was a stop sign violation?
Yeah, no, not super, super exciting, but still interesting. But we'll see if I think it's interesting after two more days of testimony.
Yes. Now, Michelle, question, are you, this would be personal, are you a single woman, are you a married woman, or what's your relationship status? Because I did find that when I was single and I had to go to jury duty, that it is definitely breeding ground for picking up guys.
Oh, I don't know where you live, but no, I'm married, and I'm the only one, maybe there's one other person who isn't retired on this jury. So.
Oh. All right,
so everyone else, they're taking time out of their busy retired lives. We were sitting in the jury room, and they were talking about how overwhelmingly busy retirement is. And I'm playing on my phone trying to get caught up on work emails. So it's all a different perspective. But I do want to sneak in for next week. We have an Ask the Vet Live coming up at thehorse.com. You can register now. And it is on respiratory issues, upper respiratory issues. We've gotten really good sign-ups. There's going to be really good questions, I guess, for that. And then the following week, we have a webinar coming up on EPM. Dr. Reed will be presenting that and answering questions live via chat on Thursday, the 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern. So.
Fantastic, y'all. That is all at thehorse.com. Thank you so much, Michelle. Have fun in court today.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Everything you always wanted to know about stifles.
It wasn't that gross, was it?
No, that was actually one of the more pleasant ones that I've heard.
I thought maybe when they were talking about sticking, you know, arthroscopic surgery and checking out the cartilage and everything, I thought that might get you, but then he didn't go any further with that. So
I know. I was hoping let it go. That's all good.
Yeah.
I was happy.
Yeah. Bummer.
I was happy. I wanted to do a show highlight coming out a little bit later today is the driving radio show that Wendy and I recorded yesterday. And all I'm going to do is give you the title. You have to go listen to see what it's all about. But the title is Driving Buck Naked. Yep, that's the title, Driving Buck Naked. And you're going to have to see why.
What do you guys do on that show? My God.
We have some fun over there at the driving radio show, Driving Buck Naked. Yep, that's what it's all about this week.
That is a good tease, my friend. Very good tease. I'm tempted. I hear enough of you, though. I might just, if you could just edit you out and just give me Wendy.
Just leave Wendy and the guest again.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Hey, you know what else? I'm getting caught up a little bit later today, and I forgot to tell you this, too. Catching up with Rochelle, who is the girl that we've had on a couple times, who is the one that is going to vet school in Slovenia.
Uh-huh.
And we're getting caught up a little bit later, so we'll play that on tomorrow morning's show. She said she has some stories to tell about what it's like to live in Slovenia and go to vet school there. So we'll get the latest from Rochelle, all the way from Slovenia.
Sounds good. That's great. I can't wait to hear from her because the whole thing seems pretty darn exciting. So I'm done here. I'm going to go ride my horse before it turns into 95 degrees, okay? 95, but it is supposed to cool down by this weekend. But, yeah, 95 yesterday. This is fun.
You should live in Florida. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's actually only going to be 85 today, so it's way cooler.
All right, talk to you later, everybody. Don't forget, you can hear all of our past shows at horsesinthemorning.com or find them on iTunes. Just search for Horses in the Morning as well. So if you miss a show, you can just listen later in the day. That's it, everybody. We're out of here.
Spay, neuter, and geld, people.
See you, Steelers.
Woo! I get to watch American Idol tonight. Yay!